Welcome to Crappy Friends, the podcast that discusses female friendships, the good, the bad, the ugly.
Girl power defeating bitchery since 2018.
I'm New York Times bestselling author Kristen Higgins.
And I'm USA Today bestselling author Joss Day.
And we're best friends.
Indeed.
And we're sitting here on my beautiful, snug, enclosed porch.
It's fabulous.
And it's snowing.
But it's bullshit snow.
I mean, it's total. It's fake.
It's bullshit
it's
snow.
It's gaslighting snow.
It is. It's not sticking. We haven't had snow all season. Not that I'm a snow fan, but if you're going to do it.
I know.
Do
my,
it.
My sister-in-law has, you know, 7-8 inches. My sister is, you know, swimming in snow in New Hampshire.
Mm-hmm.
And what do we have?
Nothing.
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 It's just embarrassing.
Yes.
So, but it is pretty. and see my rain chain gushing.
It's so, I was looking at that. It's really hypnotic and
yeah,
nice. It's lovely.
It's all about relaxation.
And zen. It's great.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, I'm going to read the first letter. It's really interesting. We've
okay.
never had this problem before. Dear ladies, thanks for the great podcast. I've really enjoyed binging it during my weekend meal prep sessions. I'm hoping you can provide a second or third opinion, since there are two of you, on something that's been on my mind. Here's the issue. My mother has trouble making and keeping friends.
Mm-hmm.
Why is this my problem, you ask?
I can guess.
Her lack of a social network worries me more and more as she ages because my siblings and I live in different cities across the country and my parents are divorced and live in different towns. We can't be there for last-minute rides to the doctor or drop in for coffee to make sure she's doing well. After 30-plus years of observing her, I think it comes down to three problems. One, I do appreciate a list. Thank
it's
you
so
for this.
Organized.
Thank
I love it.
One, she overshares with total strangers in an effort to manufacture intimacy.
Mm-hmm.
Two, she asks strangers personal questions deeper than what is socially acceptable upon first acquaintance.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of fun. And three, once she's gotten someone's attention, she will talk on and on without giving that person a chance to contribute meaningfully or extricate themselves from the conversation.
Mm-hmm.
I think the slang for this is being thirsty.
That is the slang. That is it.
But in this case, it's not the romantic sense. In short, she doesn't recognize or abide by social cues.
Mm-hmm.
There's another layer to all this, which is that my mom is fixated on money. She doesn't have much. She grew up in a thrifty Air Force family where knowing how to pinch a penny was a selfless, patriotic way of life. As a young stay-at-home mother, she was proud of the fact that, though our family could have qualified for food stamps, she was able to be creative with the budget and we never went hungry. Side note, if someone is eligible for food stamps, you should take advantage
of it. Yes, you should!
There's no sense in being a martyr, and if there's any benefit from everyone paying taxes, it's that ideally families can find support when they need it.
Mm-hmm.
Hear, hear.
Yeah.
But you get the point. Being thrifty is her identity. So much so that she often talks about money and her own money issues when she overshares with strangers when trying to make friends. For better or worse, it's just not socially acceptable in our society to talk about money or money problems outside of your close circle. It puts people off and makes them uncomfortable. It also screams, I'm a project!
Mm-hmm.
I have no boundaries!
Mm-hmm.
My mom has had a handful of jobs since she and my dad got divorced when I was in my teens. Some she quit, and some she got fired from. None was very lucrative.
Mm-hmm.
She finally called it quits on the working world when she became eligible for Social Security. She is hoping to buy her final house, meaning the one she thinks she'll die in, but to make it work financially, she'll need to use most of her savings and move to another city that's about an hour and a half from where she is now.
Mm-hmm.
Then her living expenses would be theoretically covered by her small Social Security check and tiny pension. Whenever I or my siblings talk to her on the phone, she always brings up her finances and anxiety about these big decisions. I have no doubt that she talks about this with her acquaintances at church or well-meaning cashiers at the grocery store. All of my mom's children have graduate degrees and are making good money. We're all in our 30s and only one is married with a kid. I have personally offered to give her thousands of dollars toward the purchase of a house with no strings attached. I've also offered it as a loan in case the reason she turned it down was that she doesn't want a handout, but she won't take it. So what should I do? I know that my mom's fixation on and openness with personal and financial issues is a barrier to both potential friendships and her retirement plans. I wonder what her attempts to make friendships would be like if she didn't have money problems to put front and center. At this point, I'm more than willing to write a big check to make her life easier, but she doesn't want it. And I think it's because she wouldn't know what to do or how to interact with people if she wasn't worrying about money. Ultimately, my mom is a good person who cares a lot about other people, but I worry about her nonconformity and possible mental health issues that they will keep her from being able to live the independent retirement she wants because she won't have a local network to support her. Is there any advice I can pass along to her? One last thing. You may be wondering if it's even appropriate for me to try to influence my mom's behavior or provide her advice on this issue. But about a year ago, we were having a conversation about how she doesn't always recognize social cues, and she offered up that she thinks it would help if people pointed out when she did things that were socially incorrect. So I think the door might be open if I approach it in the right way. Any advice you have for me would be welcome. Thanks. Long distance daughter.
That's hilarious.
I need to know. What a good kid you are.
You are a great kid.
Worrying about your mom like
you're
this.
You're wonderful. You're a sweet person.
Really, really nice. So when I read this letter initially, I thought, mom needs social graces training.
Mm-hmm.
And there is a lot of that available,
mm-hmm.
often geared towards people on the spectrum
mm-hmm.
who can't read social cues
mm-hmm.
or dominate conversations
mm-hmm.
Or just don't know what to say. So I looked up a couple of books for you,
mm-hmm.
daughter. The Fine Art of Small Talk
mm-hmm.
and Conversationally Speaking are two books about how to talk to strangers, essentially, and build friendships and connections. And they have really good reviews.
Yeah.
I haven't read either of them,
right.
but their Amazon reviews are great. Joss, you often talk about getting a therapist for this.
Yes, I would say for sure a therapist. She's got clear, to me, anxiety, especially over money or not having, like, lack. She's afraid of lacking.
Mm-hmm.
But I was also going to recommend, on Netflix, there is a show about etiquette. You could try that out. That's
I
a nice
love that show.
Right? You can dip a toe in that way. And my other piece of advice was, if you're so involved and you have this opening from her, I feel like you're going to have to teach her how to date friends.
Oh, yes.
She doesn't know how,
mm-hmm.
clearly. And if I were you, I could make it fun. Make it like a match thing. You come up with her profile and the profile of the friends that you want to have. And then some fun things about her that they would like to know. And that's
right.
conversation starters.
Wonderful suggestion.
Yeah. And so you got to teach her that you pull back this way. You don't, like, vomit your whole
right.
life to someone. I'm curious if she ever dated after her divorce.
Yeah, that's an interesting question. I also was reminded of American Girl.
Mm-hmm.
My daughter and I went into the city and had that special lunch with the honey butter, which
mm-hmm.
I'll never forget. And on the table they had little conversation cards
mm-hmm.
geared towards little girls. If you had a horse,
mm-hmm.
what would you name her?
Right.
That kind of thing. And I loved the questions because they were different.
Mm-hmm.
And I actually think I have a book upstairs about just, like, random questions.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you won the lottery, what would be the first indulgence you would treat yourself to?
Mm-hmm.
Or if you had another baby
mm-hmm.
or a baby, what would you name her or him? So I think that could be really fun. You could do this on Zoom.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't have the time for that, there are etiquette coaches in a lot of cities.
Yes.
And often they're geared towards teenagers,
mm-hmm.
or as with the Netflix show,
mm-hmm.
people who are put into situations with high expectations.
Right.
You know, like, oh, oops, my husband was just elected to the Senate.
Right.
And I don't know how to make chit-chat, and
right.
I'm really shy. So there are etiquette coaches for people like that. Or I've moved to a new country, and
mm-hmm.
I'm not sure what the etiquette is. And I think that might be a gift she would appreciate
yeah.
and enjoy.
Yeah, because
right?
that would be a lot of fun, right?
There are a lot of TED Talks
a lot
about
of TED Talks.
Listening
mm-hmm.
and tricks to show people that you're listening, like nodding three times and repeating back to them what they said. Oh, it's interesting that you said you have two sisters.
Mm-hmm.
I also have two sisters. Mm-hmm. What is your relationship like?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But I do think that your mom is going to need training.
Training for sure.
And
you can't just throw her out into it because she doesn't know what she's doing.
Right, right.
I would also, how involved in you are you with the buying of her house?
Yeah, that was one of my questions was, is it in her best interest to live independently?
Right, exactly.
I was thinking, how about a senior community?
Absolutely, 100%.
You know, even if it's just like a cluster of condos where people have to be over 55,
right,
which I qualify for and have been eyeing. I have a friend who's in her 80s, and she's widowed, and her little community on the cul-de-sac has really helped her.
Mm-hmm.
You know, she has drinks with these people on Friday nights, and she and Fred do the gardening, and I don't know that she should be in a house.
I don't.
I think she should be in a condo or an apartment.
Yeah, somewhere where there's not a lot for her to do in terms of maintenance, and where there's also a community for her. I mean, because that will take the worry off of you. You don't have to worry about this. Your mother, when she needs a plumber, like, is the house exploding or whatever's happening?
Right. And those can be, you know, they can be pricey, or they can, you know, you can certainly look around. But if you siblings wanted to talk to her about that, you could say, look, Mom, you raised us. You did such a great job. We're so proud of you and how you did so much independently. And now it's time for us to help you.
Mm-hmm.
And in helping you, we're helping ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
We won't have to worry about the pipe bursting if it freezes.
Mm-hmm.
Or
mm-hmm.
if you fall down, you know, there's somebody that might, that could hear you or check on you. My sister works in a very wonderful, beautiful place that is a senior community with graduated care.
Mm-hmm.
So you have people who just have their condos and are golfing and lunching. You have an activities director.
Love that.
Which is actually my sister's job.
Mm-hmm.
So you do things like, you know, it's chair yoga this morning, or we're all going to take a nature walk with the local botanist and identify poison ivy and other indigenous plants. I feel like your mom's not going to improve if she lives by herself.
I agree.
She can live by herself in a community.
Yes.
So I think maybe you could steer that. And then my last thought is something that I'm doing with my own sainted mother. I'm starting to take over her finances and, you know, electronically pay bills.
Mm-hmm.
I think you might start asking her if now is the time to do that.
I think it is. It's smart.
It's so much easier than if she has a stroke
or,
you know, is disabled somehow. And you could still pay the bills and know how much she has. And
in that way, you could also help her with money.
Right.
So she'll have a little extra from the Social Security.
Mm-hmm. You could help her with money. You could help her budgeting. But if you have power of attorney and are taking care of her finances, she doesn't have to see her bank balance every month.
Ever. Again. Really.
Right? And the sooner you can get in on that with your elder, I think the better.
100%. I'm sure a lot of financial people would say the same. I know my brother, who is finance expert, already has his kids set up
to
do that with him. And he's, let me tell you how old he is. He's 63.
60, right. 60-something, yeah.
Yeah, so.
Yeah, it just takes a lot of the panic off the table when something does happen, because something will happen.
Mm-hmm.
And if you are in charge of the purse strings, it's also a way maybe that you can give her a little extra without her knowing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you slip an extra $200 into her bank account each month. So she can, you know, have a little more. But I do think that your immediate problem is pretty easily addressed with converse with others, how to read social cues.
I would also tell her to just don't talk about money. There's no reason for it.
Money, sex, and politics just don't bring it up. Polite topics of conversation,
that's
especially
right.
with, you know, with strangers.
Right.
Unless you're meeting at a volunteer, you're volunteering in a campaign.
Right.
Then you're all, you know, you all know your party affiliation.
That's right.
But nobody wants to hear about your money problems, Mom.
No, no.
And, you know, I've said this on the show before. When I first became a public person, I would write things down on an index card because I'd go blank.
Mm-hmm.
You know, how are you? Fine. And you? And then I'd be like, the conversation's
and it's
over.
Done. Right.
You know, I have nothing to say. But now I know some really nice icebreaker questions.
Mm-hmm.
What kind of books do you like to read? You know, do you watch any television or movies? What did you think of the dresses at the Oscars?
Mm-hmm.
And people love to also talk about their fields of expertise.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, if someone says, oh, thank you, I knit this sweater. You're like, oh, wow, tell me about that.
Yeah.
When did you get into knitting?
Mm-hmm.
Did you learn it from your mother? Did you take a class?
Right.
They love to talk about their thing. It's an honor to be asked.
Yeah. I was also thinking that you and or your siblings should become Hitch, that movie with Will Smith.
Oh, my favorite rom-com of all
right,
time.
Of all time. It's a really good one. But he is, in that movie, he's a coach for these sort of awkward men. And there are scenes in there where he's teaching them how to speak to people.
Yes.
Listen and respond.
Right.
Listen and respond. Like that. So you guys have to become Hitch for now.
Right. And the you know, if you haven't seen the movie, the adorable plot twist is he finally finds love when he's not slick and smooth.
Exactly.
And everything.
Right.
But he is, in essence, an etiquette coach.
Yes. Yes.
And he also creates opportunities for the men to approach the women that maybe they think is out of their league. You
right.
know? Yeah, a delightful movie.
I think you are going to have to coach your mom on how to do these things. What happened to her friends when she was married? Did they take sides, or can she rekindle some of those relationships?
If she's moving, you know, it
still
sounds like she's starting
fresh.
Pen pal
might be nice.
I think there's also the obvious. You go to the library book club, and you know, have a note card in your pocket that says, "Don't talk about money."
Talk about the book.
Talk about the book. You know, there's all sorts of ways for her to make friends and meet new people. And I think, you know, if she is in an area where there is like an etiquette school, New York, Chicago, any big city, sometimes they offer group classes.
Which would be fun.
Right?
Yeah.
And so, you know, it sounds like you're pretty flush, and congratulations on you and your siblings all doing so well. You know, think about gifts that you could give her that are experiential.
Yeah.
And with other people.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But I do think in the beginning you're going to have to coach her, because it seems to me that she's putting people off when she tries to do things on her own.
Yeah.
So you're going to have to give her some tips about that initial conversation and how you manage that. And then back off, Mom. Back off. And then maybe, how about coffee? And we're not talking about money. We're not talking about anything like that. Because she seems really kind of anxiety-ridden about the money issue. So there's that thing you have to look into also, is this idea that she is always needing to, like, you know, squeeze a penny so that she gets the most out of it. But you guys have money, have offered to help her.
Yep.
Why won't she take it? You've offered loans. I mean, there's some sort of anxiety in there about not having money. Or maybe she's a prideful person who believes I can live off of nothing.
Right. My mother-in-law is like that.
Yeah.
You know, she's from Ireland. She grew up in poor Ireland in the 1930s and 40s and 50s. And, you know, she's so thrifty and really proud of it. And, you know, she's done very well saving money, putting aside money. And recently, when my father-in-law died, I said, you know, now it's time for you to enjoy some of the money that you worked so hard to invest and you know, all that. And she doesn't want to because, you know, she's like, oh, you know, I don't need a new bed, Kristen. I like my little twin bed.
No.
You know, and to be fair, she's so tiny.
She is tiny.
Twin bed is more than enough,
super tiny,
right?
She is.
And she, you know, she's not someone who's going to go to Talbot's and buy herself a few sweaters and
right.
pants. She's not like that. But I've been able to get her to accept some comforts.
Mm-hmm.
We bought her a recliner recently.
Nice.
You know, I want to, she just is moving into her new apartment. And I said, I want everything around her to be comfortable and appealing.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't have to be expensive.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't have to be new. But, you know, she's lived this very thrifty life for so long. And now she doesn't have to.
Right, right.
And I think, too, that going back to saying, Mom, you know, you did such a good job with us.
Mm-hmm.
Now we want to help you.
Yes.
That gives her some way of it not being a handout.
Right, right.
You raised us.
Yes.
And look at us. We did so great because
right.
of you, Mom.
Right, right.
You were awesome.
Right.
And now we just want to give you a little extra. And then one thing that works often with your elders is, so I don't have to worry about you.
Yes.
Because I worry so much about you.
With you
being alone.
By yourself. And
you know, and please, you know.
And make the sad face.
Let's take this off your
yes.
children's plate so
yes.
that we know Mom's having a good day.
Yeah.
Unless
yeah, yeah.
we hear otherwise.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You
yeah.
know. So, good luck to you. You sound, again, like such a nice person.
You
Your
do.
Grammar was flawless.
Which we really appreciate.
And that numbered list just made my heart grow
sing.
Three sizes.
Yeah, just sing. Really, just sing.
I'm Kristen Higgins.
And I'm Just Day.
And we're best friends.
Forever.